Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
She's a famous writer. They're a big firm, and he's a Canadian coder. But what do Stephanie Prisner, Ernst & Young, and Fernando Cartwright all have in common? The answer? They all received state funding to give advice to the government last year as ministers and officials continue to splash out on consultants and external services. Well, here to tell us who else has the ear of our politicians and just how much it all costs the taxpayer is our reporter, Barry Lenehan. Good morning, Barry.
Claire, good morning to you.
What have you got for us?
The business of government is big business. From the accountancy firms and management companies making millions from consultancy contracts with government to the public relations gurus imparting wisdom here and there to a TD or a minister. And that's where we start, as last month it emerged how ministers, TDs and senators spent a large portion of a special allowance they're entitled to on public relations. This, the special secretarial allowance, and Oireachtas members are allowed to use it on IT, secretarial work or PR. And figures obtained by Kent Fox show how almost 675,000 in payments were made under this allowance between June 2020 and January of this year, and this included a payment of €6,154 to the writer and actress Stephanie Prisner for public relations advice to the Minister of State, Anne Rabbitt. And this attracted headlines as the Can't Cope, Won't Cope writer is the fiancé of the Fianna Fáil's Minister's Special Advisor, Noel Byrne.
And what does Anne Rabbitt have to say about that connection?
Well, here's what she told me just over an hour ago.
I'm only 6 years in politics. I didn't grow up in politics or anything else like that. And I have a particular style of communication. And perhaps I needed to employ somebody, which happens to be Stephanie, that could critique my communication style. That I'm, in actual fact, that would be able to let me communicate and hold the free spirit that I have, but at the same time, getting the message across in such a way that people would be able to understand it. I suppose the other side of it, Barry, as well, is I was asked recently about why did I employ Stephanie, and I suppose what I said, if I was the football manager of one of the teams around the country, I said I would also have a full kit team with me. I would have a strength and conditioner, I would have a physio, so no different to myself being in politics. I have to put a team around me so as I have the best team for the best performance. That's why.
This particular appointment raised eyebrows, however, due to Ms. Prisner's connection to your office. She's engaged to your special advisor, and while not doubting her credentials, some people have raised eyebrows about this. Can you understand why?
I certainly can understand it, but at the same time, Stephanie is in the role based on her professional credentials. That's why Stephanie is there. I would have looked around to see many other media communications down through the years, but myself and Stephanie actually connect. She gets me. I'm a very plain speaker, so is Stephanie. And her credentials is why she is assisting me in the role.
So before you paid her the €6,000 fee and engaged her services, you had actually looked for other people. That is what you're saying.
Yeah, I had been looking around, but I was looking around for a person very similar to myself, very strain talker, black and white to the answer. But at the same time, you work in the media, giving a straight answer sometimes can get you into a lot of trouble. It's all into delivery.
Do you understand how this might look bad for politics, though, due to the connection? This sense that, look, here's the politicians looking after those close to them again.
Not at all. Far from it. I go back again to the analogy of a team manager. He puts a team, or she puts a team around her, with people that they can trust, they can depend on. And that's exactly what I have done with myself.
Do you understand why it made headlines then?
Oh, completely understand why it made headlines, Barry. Absolutely. That there was no doubt. And I knew when I hired Stephanie that there was always going to be that FOI, that all this was going to be a query. And do you know what? Her ability to do her job and me to do mine. We knew that in advance, and I'm quite comfortable with that.
You don't think it'll be damaging to you?
Absolutely not.
Will you continue to employ Ms. Prisner going forward?
Absolutely. We have a very good relationship in the sense that I depend on her advice. I think she gives me very good, solid advice. And in actual fact, my delivery has really improved since Stephanie was has started working with me.
So that's Anne Rabbitt, Barry. And who else are our politicians looking towards for help under this allowance?
Some seek advice along party lines. For instance, the largest payment made under the special secretarial allowance most recently was £20,500 to Consilium Communication, the Cavan-based company operated by former Fine Gael councillor Sean McKiernan Jr. gave public relations advice to Ministers Helen McEntee, Damien English and Senator Joe O'Reilly. It regularly features as providing assistance to Fine Gael parliamentarians under this allowance. Not the only party to do such thing, and others, they lean on family, as reported previously on this programme. One in seven TDs have of course hired a family member, and several opposition TDs, they also seek public relations advice and policy advice under a wide array of allowances that are available, and all payments, they're fully audited, but there are no requirements to show evidence of work done.
Is there a limit to what you can claim under that allowance, the special secretarial allowance?
I don't have the answer to that question at the moment.
But as long as you can show the receipt for it.
You show the receipt. So for instance, if Claire Byrne looks to bill Anne Rabbitt, for instance, it would say Claire Byrne for secretarial or public relations work for Anne Rabbitt, and that is what's billed.
Okay, that's the special secretarial allowance. And then we move on to other people our politicians seek guidance from. So government ministers, they all have teams of their own special advisors, don't they?
That's it. And that's on top of those who work in the departments themselves. And the government, as we know, is a team of 64 special advisors at a cost of £6 million annually. And the majority of cabinet ministers count an experienced journalist among their advisory ranks. Much has been made about this. And Professor John O'Brennan of Maynooth University, he says departments should seek more specialist advice in policy areas.
These are public positions. The role of a special advisor should be to bring not just a generic skill set, but skills that are particularly important in that particular sectoral area or ministry where that person will be working with a minister. So it's a pretty simple argument that if you're going to appoint people to jobs as special advisors, they should have some special skills. If they're in the Department of Transport, for example, they should have some kind of deep background in that area that would give them the capacity to really advise ministers properly. In my view, that's not what we've got. We've actually got a whole lot of people whose skill set is very general rather than specific.
So that's John O'Brennan, and he claims that government departments don't hold enough specialist expertise. So with that in mind, Barry, you've been digging into how much exactly government departments are spending on expert help from the outside. And what did you find?
Government has spent at least €290 million on outside consultants and external service providers since the start of 2018. And €290 million could be just the tip of the iceberg, as not all 18 government departments provide full details of their external expertise, their spend on that. And while some have only published partial details, the figures also don't include money spent by state bodies. And what we have comes from responses to parliamentary questions and what's on the department's own website.
So what specific companies are benefiting most then from advising the government?
Offering advice to government, particularly lucrative for the so-called Big Four, the consultancy firms Deloitte, Ernst & Young, now known as EY, PwC and KPMG. They've raked in €43.6 million between them in government contracts since 2018, including reviews, audits and IT supports.
And who took in the most in that time?
Deloitte, £23.3 million from eight different government departments for at least 28 different pieces of work. KPMG, £9.5 million. PwC, £1.2 million, including €173,000 last year for a culture review of the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. Ernst & Young, or EY, it was busy too, £9.6 million from 11 different government departments since the start of 2018. However, over £4 million of this came from the Department of Education in the last year alone.
Okay, do we have any more detail on that £4 million, what it was spent on?
Just down as consultancy and contractors, okay. But the amount spent on consultancy, the Department of Education rose significantly last year.
Concerns then about the consistent use of those Big Four, aren't there? There are concerns, those consultancy companies, the big ones that you mentioned.
Those same firms, they're paid to offer expertise to the government, but they're also listed in the lobbying register, Claire, as trying to influence government policy, and indeed some have lobbied ministers as well. And in the UK, these companies, they've been told to make a full legal separation of their auditing and consultancy businesses, while unease is also also been expressed at a European level over these twin roles.
So who else is popular with politicians and officials, Barry?
Indacon remains a firm favourite, the consultancy firm winning 2.5 million euro worth of contracts since the start of 2018. At least 24 reports for 10 different government departments over the last 3 years. The most valuable for the Department of Finance in 2019, 319,000 for economic consultancy, ahead of a case taken against the state by Aer Lingus and Ryanair over the air travel tax. Indacon also took in 235,000 from the Department of Social Protection for research into the cost of disability in 2019, and was also awarded six-figure tenders from Rural Affairs, Education and Agriculture. Indacon says its services represent value for money, as some projects benefit from specialised expertise, and other firms regularly winning these big contracts include Mazars and Arthur Cox solicitors.
So which government department did you find was the biggest spender on consultants and external expertise?
Agriculture, 98 million euro across 2018, 19 and 20. But the Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, insists his department seeks to minimise the use of these firms, and many are engaged to satisfy EU law.
You've mentioned this department already, but it's another big spender, isn't it? The Department for Social Protection.
84.4 million over 3 years, but this includes a significant outlay on IT and also 9.4 million on the introduction of the Public Services Card in 2018. There's also a contract of 613,400 euro in 2018 for customised envelopes, and 54,000 euro paid to Rue Point Media in 2019, specifically listed for the purpose of a media monitoring service for their minister, Regina Doherty.
It's interesting. What else caught your eye, Barry?
Department of Housing, you've just been discussing it there, big spender and consultancy, over 400,000 to the RPS Group for several projects, six-figure contracts as well to Arthur Cox, EY and Capita Transformation, while the Department of Communications, 22 separate contracts relating to the National Broadband Plan between 2018 and 2020, with a total cost to the Exchequer of 14.9 million.
That's extraordinary in a 2 year period, 22 contracts. You mentioned earlier on the Department of Education, 4.5 million given to the consultants Ernst & Young last year. Who else, though, was paid for advice, particularly amid the controversy surrounding the Leaving Cert?
That's it. And a statement just to hand from the Department of Education clarifying some figures, confirming that 175,437 given to Polymetrica, of course, those behind the ill-fated calculated grades process, its CEO, the Canadian coder Fernando Cartwright, and a new name that has just come into the mix as well, the Department of Education paying 62,487 euro on consultancy services on the calculated grades to Professor Wim van der Linden, a professor emeritus of a university in Twente in the Netherlands, and this was for evidence provided in the context of the lead case taken before the High Court by a Leaving Cert 2020 candidate.
All right, another big department, the Department of Health. What has it spent on consultancy?
It has spent 2.8 million on consultancy and communication services in the last 3 years, and indeed up to March of this year, including money for PR for Drury Communications most recently, as well as a six-figure contract with McKinsey and other contracts with Q4 PR, Crowe Hart and Hume Brophy. There's also monies spent by both the Department of Health and the Department of Education on external PR services, but much of the data we've been analysing over the last few moments supplied in response to parliamentary questions from the Social Democrats co-leader Catherine Murphy. Here's what she told me.
In some cases, there's going to be a need if there is a very specialist kind of service required, would only be used once. But where there is kind of repeated expertise brought in, where you could embed that within the public service, in that case, I think we need to change significantly. We need to build up the expertise in the public service, because the more we rely on experts outside, the more we build up their expertise and the more we then continue to rely on them. So that's part of the reason why I have been chasing this, because the same names keep on coming up and there seems to be an almost dependency on some of those.
Are you confident that these firms are turned to as a matter of last resort, or do you think it's the first resort in some cases?
In some cases it looks to me like that is the first port of call, that an external consultant will be brought in, or external expertise will be brought in. For that to change, there would have to be a significant change right across government. You wouldn't necessarily
necessarily have an expert in every department, but you may well have a specialist unit, for example. And in the absence of specialist units around IT or legal or accountancy, the reliance will still be there for these mostly large companies.
The government would argue it has driven down costs here on these sorts of contracts, and it's the same as in any walk of life, that you need to call on experts now and again.
I accept that you do have to call in experts now and again, but there's a very big long list there, and you would have to question that, whether or not that is what happened.
The big four accountancy firms, a reliance there on those, but they're also registered lobbyists as well. Is that a comfortable position for you?
No, it's not. And we keep on hearing about Chinese walls, and these are very large companies and they don't talk to each other and that. But I mean, I don't think that actually cuts the mustard with the public. And I think even if there's a perception of bias, I think that that is, or a perception of there being something that is not separated, I think that that is a problem. There is a significant reliance on these firms, and you can see that by the amount of money that's being spent.
That's TD Catherine Murphy there. And Barry, how might the government respond to those criticisms?
The government argues that the number of reports commissioned for consultants has reduced dramatically within the last decade, and it also points to its own team of analysts and economists who've produced 350 analytical papers since 2012.
Barry Lenehan, thank you very much indeed. Coming up next, the best way to learn a new language.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.